Hi, it's Jamie, Progressive number one, number two employee. Leave a message at the... Hey, Jamie, it's me, Jamie. This is your daily pep talk. I know it's been rough going ever since people found out about your a cappella group, Mad Harmony, but you will bounce back. I mean, you're the guy always helping people find coverage options with the Name Your Price tool. It should be you giving me the pep talk. Now get out there, hit that high note, and take Mad Harmony all the way to nationals this year! Sorry, it's pitchy.
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You are Locked On Pelicans, your daily podcast on the New Orleans Pelicans, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.
Welcome to another edition of Locked On Pelicans, the only daily podcast covering your favorite team, the New Orleans Pelicans, and NBA as a whole, available on iTunes, on Audioboom, wherever podcasts are found. I'm your host, Jake Madison, at Nola Jake on Twitter, and I'm excited to be with you all here. It's a Tuesday. Monday, we put up the live recording from our last New Orleans Basketball Social Club meetup, which we recorded on Friday. I threw that all up for you on yesterday's podcast, where we had some fun on there. But now, Media Day is less than a week away, which means we got to get started on like the nitty-gritty, all the details, breaking things down, giving you some season previews. The kind of time to rest and everything, for me at least, is over. And we get back to business, so we will be 5 days this week having podcasts up for you all. I'm going to break down the guard situation for the Pelicans today, wings tomorrow, bigs on Thursday, and then Friday we're going to see what we need to cover based on some feedback. We might do a bit of a Western Conference season preview, a couple of other big things. We got some big storylines I'm going to dive into over the next 2 weeks or so, and then next week we'll bring you everything you need to know from Media Day. I'm looking forward to it. It's going to be a lot of fun. So get back into the swing of listening to Locked On Pelicans, which today's episode is brought to you by SeatGeek, but we're back to 5 days a week. Might have a day or two off as we get closer towards the season, but there's a lot to talk about now, so we're going to just dive right into everything here. So let's just dive kind of right into everything. So to give you an idea of what we're going to talk about today, we've got Drew Holiday on the team, Rajon Rondo, Etuan Moore, newly signed Tony Allen. There's Ian Clark, newly signed as well, Jordan Crawford. You've got Charles Cook on a two-way deal, and then rookie Frank Jackson, who's out injured for a couple of months, and, you know, really just isn't going to factor in much even when he comes back healthy. So we're not going to spend much time on him. Probably not spend much time on Cook either, as I've talked about him before when he did sign the two-way deal. But it leaves us another, you know, interesting group of guys to talk to. Obviously, Holiday and Rondo, that pairing. What are the roles going to be for Moore, Allen, Clark? And is Crawford, frankly, just going to make the team because it's a little bit uncertain now with some of the depth they've had, in, especially after this Tony Allen signing? So let's start to break it all down. We're going to start with Holiday. And obviously, you know, this is kind of the key to everything. It's not Rondo being a signing to help the team. It was can Rondo unlock Drew Holiday? And if you go back to, you know, the stretch between post-All-Star break to the end of the season where you put where the team put Holiday and Frazier in the backcourt together, and that was after Holiday struggled significantly prior to that in the after the trade where his turnovers and everything were really, really bad, and he was shooting incredibly poorly as well. After the All-Star break, Holiday shot 30% or something like that from three-point range, declined significantly, but there is some good news, and that was when he was paired with Frazier on the court. His three-point percentage jumped back up to 40%. When it was Holiday without Frazier, it was just 30.6%. So about a 10% drop, 9.4%. That's bad. Now, the good thing about it was when he was on the when they were on the court together, you know, he still scored about the same amount of points. He got a little bit more. He averaged without Frazier 20.1 points. If you're grading it out over like a full game, I think this is by 100 possessions here. And then on the court, he was averaging 21.4 with Frazier on there. So his scoring jumps up a little bit. The scary thing is, though, with a significant increase in three-point percentage and making more three-pointers per game, he made, you know, again, this is per 100 possessions, 3.6 compared to 1.9 with Frazier off. His scoring doesn't increase that much. That's worrisome. It's not an efficient use of scoring and scoring in the best ways possible. This is basically about, you know, 1 point per shot, which is not an ideal number. Holiday, to be the best, needs to be an efficient scorer and make the most of his opportunities, because the rest of those opportunities really do need to go to Davis and Cousins. So can Rondo do a better job of getting the most out of Holiday than Tim Frazier did? And I think, you know, it's reasonable to say, yeah, probably. But we're not going to know for sure. The biggest thing is that three-point percentage when he's out there with another point guard allows him to kind of make up for what else could be out. You know, the other issues is what I'm trying to say, I guess, as I lose my train of thought, because, of course, we're, you know, I'm rusty too as we hit training camp for me here. But if he's shooting a better percentage when he's getting higher quality looks, which he was doing with Tim Frazier on the court, which means that he can maybe make the most of those. If he can hit his threes close to 37%, about his career number or so, yeah, that's when it's going to be much more helpful. He'll be able to space the court that way. He can slash and drive a little bit. He can work well off the ball, cutting. Those are important things to be able to do. But if he's out there in Rondo, there's a chance this backfires, because the spacing with Holiday is a really big thing. With just Davis and Cousins and him out there, he was turning the ball over significantly. There's no other way to put it. But when Frazier went in, those turnovers dropped much more. Again, 1.8 with Frazier on the court, 4.4 with Frazier off the court. So it's about, you know, a significant change. That's per 100 possessions again. But man, it's worrisome, because we don't know what exactly we're going to get out of this pairing. And it should be good. But the problem is, it might not. And maybe Holiday, it doesn't kind of get unlocked, is what I've been saying you're hoping to see from him. And if it doesn't, this offense could be in some trouble, because Rondo isn't going to be enough to create for himself and isn't the player that he used to be. He gets to the rim at times, but does he work well without the ball in his hands? Not particularly. Teammates or opponents sag off of him and are going to try and double Davis and Cousins in the post. And later in the week, when we talk about the bigs, I'm going to talk about the offense working with those two guys, because I think there's a very good example. And if you listen to Monday's podcast, the live podcast, towards the end I mentioned it, and I mentioned something you should all take a look at. If you get a chance for some highlights, I'll tease that here and then let you guys know what that is later in the week with it. But obviously Holiday's the big one here. If he can average something like 15 or so and in six, I think you're going to be happy with that. But you'd like to get more production out of him. And with these two bigs and limited opportunities, I don't know if he's going to be able to do that. He averaged 15.4 last year, averaged 7.3 assists. Those numbers dropped after the All-Star break. Can he become a near 20-point per game kind of guy? And does Rondo bring that out? It's a mystery. We're going to see pretty early on in training camp and preseason if we think this is going to work or if it won't, because other guys then need to pick up the slack, and it puts more of an emphasis defensively on Davis and Cousins to be able to, you know, keep going and fight through those defensive double teams that they're going to see. As for Rondo, I mean, like I said in the last little bit talking about Holiday, this isn't really about what he's going to do, and I don't think you should expect too much from him. I don't think he's going to be a great scorer for this team. I think he's just kind of there to ease the burden on Holiday some. And the good news is he is capable of doing that. You know, there are significant risks with his reputation and attitude, but he was voted Teammate of the Year up there in with Chicago, there we go, last season. But at times there was some bad blood with him and Hoiberg and other things, and that's not a good situation necessarily to be in. And yeah, your teammates might like you, but if your cause and fits with the coaching staff and other things, that's still a problem. The good news is he and Cousins are known to be friends. They were good teammates. And last time they played together over in Sacramento, Rondo led the league in assists. And I actually think if you want some fantasy advice, and I talked about this on Locked On Fantasy Basketball with Josh Lloyd, that, yeah, he's actually going to put up some good assist numbers relative to where he's getting drafted. He's going pretty low in fantasy drafts, and Josh thinks he's going to average maybe, you know, 7 or 8 assists per game, which are pretty good numbers. It's not going to be, you know, the 11, 12, anything like that. You're not looking for crazy assist numbers. He's not going to get the minutes for that. But certainly he's going to get some assists, and I think he's going to look good in fantasy leagues, and he'll help the Pelicans. If he can make their lives a little bit easier, that's certainly going to be a good thing. He's not a threat to shoot from three. Don't come at me with his three-point percentages and say like, oh, no, it's not too bad. Look, the guy doesn't make the defense adjust for him on three-pointers at all. It basically just means that when he launches a three, you're not screaming no and cringing and covering your eyes and going, what the hell is this dude doing? he's not going to help space the court. They're not going to respect him on the three-point line. Maybe I'll be wrong and he turns it around and, you know, something happens. But look, based on history, that's not what we're going to see. Don't look at him to do that. Look at his impact on Jrue Holiday, because that's the most important thing. Before getting to the other guys on the roster, I do want to mention that today's episode of Locked On Pelicans is brought to you by SeatGeek. And SeatGeek is the fastest, easiest, quickest, all of those great things, ways that I found to get tickets. And buying tickets to sports and concerts can be complicated, but there's a better way to buy with SeatGeek. With SeatGeek's seamless mobile experience, you can buy and sell tickets in just two taps. SeatGeek helps you find the best seats at the best prices, fully guaranteed. There's nothing quite like seeing your favorite team, the Saints or Pelicans or musicians, you too. I know some people who use SeatGeek to get tickets for it, and SeatGeek will help you get closer to the action for a great value. I have the SeatGeek app on my phone, and it's by far the easiest way I've found to shop for tickets. I can be anywhere, particularly in Champion Square. This is the move I use. And within just a few taps, I can instantly find seats. They get sent right to my phone, and I use that to get in. I don't need to run anywhere and print them out. I walk in, just show them my phone, they scan it, and we're good to go. SeatGeek is designed to make your ticket buying experience easier than ever. It saves you time and money by searching multiple ticket sites to compare prices and find amazing deals. And you get the most bang for your buck because SeatGeek grades every ticket based on value to help you immediately identify the best seats that fit your budget. And best of all my listeners get $20 off their first SeatGeek purchase. Just download the SeatGeek app and enter the promo code LONBA. That's promo code LONBA for $20 off your first SeatGeek purchase. All right, so getting back to the rest of the guys on the roster. So the two main starters that we need to pay attention to, as we just went over, is going to be Holiday and Rondo. And it's pretty obvious what their roles are going to be and what the Pels need them to do. The rest of the guys is where it gets a little interesting. You got Etuan Moore, first and foremost, who had, you know, kind of a quiet season last year. He averaged 9.6 points per game in just a shade under 25 minutes. You know, did well. He didn't shoot a crazy, like, 45% that he shot the season before. He shot 37% from three, which is probably a more realistic number for him. Maybe a little bit higher than that, but 37% sounds about right. And he can space the court adequately. He's defended bigger guys, and he's certainly going to need to at times. And there was an interview with him on Pelicans.com saying, yeah, they've talked to me about it, and they're going to need me to play the three a lot. So I'll probably talk about him some more in what a three-guard lineup might look with him tomorrow when we go into the wings and other things. But Moore's going to be a guy who's going to see probably an increase in minutes. It's going to jump probably from that 25 minutes to maybe closer to 30, 28, 29. So I'll see a slight increase, which means his scoring should go up. As long as he keeps shooting the three reasonably well, you don't hate him being out there. He's not great anywhere else. I did not like that floater he liked to do a lot, that little runner in the lane. I didn't find that a particularly effective shot, but it's something he liked to do. But he works. He doesn't, you know, do anything that stands out, but he averaged 2.2 assists per game. When the ball hits his hand, he's not a black hole. It's kind of like a solid overall player on a decent enough contract. That's why you're always going to see him brought up in trade rumors, because frankly, other than him, there's not really a whole lot of trade bait and, you know, things on here to be able to move. But he's a guy who's going to see a significantly larger role, whether that's in a three-guard lineup, whether it's him and Holiday out on the court together. You know, they kept him on the bench last season. Coming in as kind of the sixth man because they wanted that bench unit to have some scoring punch. But at a certain point, it might be better to put him out there, especially if spacing doesn't work with Rondo, to pair with Davis and Cousins just to give them a little bit more room to breathe, because spacing still is going to be an issue. It doesn't work as well off-ball, cutting, off-ball movement, things like that, but you have other guys that can do that. So Moore is a guy I think is going to improve a little bit. I think he's just going to be solid, if unspectacular, or if unspectacular. He's never going to be a spectacular great player, but he's a nice piece to have, and you could do a lot worse, but also kind of leaves you wanting a little bit more in the minutes he plays. But this is a guy defensively does a good job on most two guards in the league. He can switch onto ones. He can handle some threes. You know, he has a 6'9" wingspan. He's 6'4". Most guys have a larger wingspan than height, so I don't read too much into that. It doesn't mean when they're jumping and raising their arms to shoot that even with a 6'9 wingspan, he's going to be able to contest them, especially against larger guys. I worry about him guarding fours on a switch on the wing. If he's playing the three, that could be a problem. We'll wait and see there. That's going to hold true. And a lot of this is kind of going to hold true, at least the defensive side of things, in the next guy I want to mention, which is Tony Allen. And look, we all know what Tony Allen can do defensively. He's kind of been brought in to replace some of what Solomon Hill gives you. And as I talked about last week when they did sign him, he's not a direct replacement because of the height. He's not a true three. He can't guard fours as well. That's going to be a problem there. But he does bring all those intangibles, which are certainly a very good thing and needed for this Pelicans team. They've been working on culture the past couple of seasons, and Tony Allen's a great guy to bring in and replace what you're losing in Solomon Hill. Solomon Hill's still on the team, but he's not going to be around the team most of this year. You need someone to be kind of that vocal leader in the locker room, and I certainly think that Tony Allen is going to be that guy. I think he and Davis are going to pair, you know, wonderfully together, and along with Cousins. I think they're all going to be, there's just going to be really good locker room chemistry. Offensively, I mean, this is a guy who's known for being so bad offensively and still averaged more points per game than Solomon Hill did, which is, like, you just want to say it's sad, but it's not quite sad. It's just a number of different things, but interesting, I guess, is the way to do it. And look, he does cut and move off ball. He's willing to do it, and having guys that are just willing to do it is an important thing. He's not good at it, though. Well, take that back. He's not efficient at it. You know, he has a lot of cuts, and if you look at the synergy numbers and the SportVU tracking data off NBA.com/stats, yeah, he's up there in all of them. He also ranked in the 7th percentile scoring off of cuts. So maybe you don't want him doing it too much. But frankly, having a guy who's going to move off ball will force defenses to adjust. If you just let him cut and don't guard him or don't do anything, you're going to get burned. He'll even score there. And he can finish at the rim decently enough. So I think that's what you're looking for his role to be, this sub off the bench when you need to kind of not run a traditional offense but run more off-ball movement. He can sub in for a guy like Rondo or Etuan Moore, and you can mix your offense up, especially when you're running that kind of Cousins-centric offense through Chris Finch. You know, this is where Tony Allen's going to come into play. Is he going to average 10 points per game this coming season? No, I see him playing around, you know, between 20 to 25 minutes per game, maybe more depending on injuries and how they're going to fill the Solomon Hill situation. But certainly he's going to get out there. He should give you more than 7 points per game than Solomon Hill gave the team last year. He's not going to space the court, so you're going to need to do this in the right situation because teams will definitely sag off of him on offense and force you kind of to play 4-on-5 because you just don't want him shooting threes even if they're wide open. But overall, with Tony Allen, they're a better team than they were without Tony Allen. Ian Clark and Jordan Crawford are the next two guys I want to mention here because I think they kind of need to go hand in hand, because after talking about Holiday, Rondo, Moore, Allen, you know, there's not too many more guard minutes to go around. And last season, Crawford averaged 23.3 minutes per game. And you've got to wonder if maybe he's actually going to be the odd man out here. You know, if you're going to run five guards, Crawford doesn't have much room as the six. And it's kind of what it sounds like is going to be the case with the Pels, meaning Crawford's 23 or so minutes per game from last season is probably going to go to Ian Clark, who might be, you know, a more well-rounded type of player. Clark showed some very nice flashes in Golden State. This was kind of a guy everyone wanted the Pels to sign. He's young. There's a lot of potential there. He's a good three-point shooter. He can drive straight to the rim and score that way, too. He had over a 30-point game against Portland last season. He's got an anvil of games, especially against Portland. He always wants to play against them, where he played particularly well, and you're like, okay, this guy might be able to be a starter in the NBA. And, you know, that's a good thing, but it kind of pushes Crawford out. So looking at Crawford, dude shot a blistering 39% from three last season on 5 attempts per game, averaged 14.1 points on 11.5 shots, is kind of the instant grits, lightning in a bottle off the bench last season. And if you look at his numbers and everything, it's probably unsustainable. Like, this is not the type of player he'd ever been in the league before, and maybe the Pels just caught some magic with him. And maybe he'll keep it up, but I don't think it's reasonable to expect that. And you're going to probably see him level off in, you know, a larger role as teams kind of figure out how to defend him and stick on him a little bit more and game plan to keep him out of there and affecting the and impacting the game less so. I think with Clark, you're feeling a little bit better defensively. He's better than Crawford is as well, who, you know, Crawford doesn't play much defense and spends all of his energy shooting. You know, Ian Clark's a bit more balanced. I think the Pels are going to value that, especially because they do want to keep that top 10 defensive ranking this coming season. I don't know if you're going to do that with Crawford getting another 23 or more minutes per game. So I think Crawford's the guy who's going to kind of be the odd man out. I think you're seeing his role go to Ian Clark, which is okay. I'm kind of excited about it because Clark, again, young guy who shows a lot of potential on a good one-year deal, he's going to play pretty well because he's trying to prove that he deserves a big money deal in the NBA. With Clark, there was talk he was going to get the full mid-level exception or more than that. So you're talking close, you know, above $8 million, closer to 10 or so, and he didn't. It's on a vet min deal for whatever it is for him, which is cheap, and he wants more money than that, and he's going to play really hard to try and get that. So I think that kind of motivation is one of the reasons you're going to see Clark in there a little bit more and just more balanced, unfortunately, because I love Jordan Crawford, but he's looks like he's going to be the odd man out, and I think it's kind of a shame. Not a bad guy to have on the bench on the very end, because worst case is you're down a bunch, throw him in and see what happens, and it can't hurt. The other thing is keep an eye on him just even making the team. The Pels pushed his guaranteed date back later in the season as opposed to having it already been guaranteed to maybe avoid giving him that money if they need to create a roster spot or they make an uneven trade where they bring multiple players back. You know, it kind of just all signs point to him not being the guy or even being on this team this coming season. And before I talk about the final two guys and kind of wrap up the podcast here, don't forget to subscribe to Locked On NBA. We're going to be doing season previews on there. You'll hear the Pelicans one on there too. It's the main NBA channel, once a week or so podcast. But we're going to have a couple coming out to you guys doing Western Conference previews, Eastern Conference previews, all sorts of previews. And it's just a great way to catch up around the league, know the big storylines, what's happening in the NBA. Just a good catch-all and good way to keep be informed of everything. You're not going to listen to 30 team-specific podcasts, but you want to know what's going on in the league. So definitely subscribe to Locked On NBA. Napa
Know-How. It takes a lot to get excited about a bag, but most bags can't save you 20% on auto parts. That's 20% off headlamps, 20% off oil filters, 20% off virtually anything you can fit inside the 99-cent Napa reusable bag. So tell your buddies, there's a bag they just have to check out. Quality parts, helpful people. That's Napa Know-How. Napa Know-How. At participating Napa Auto Parts stores while supplies last. Minimum three items. Exclusions apply. Offer ends 10/31/17.
So next I want to mention Frank Jackson. And there's not a lot to talk about here. We know he's going to be out for most of the season. You know, with that guard roster and lineup and everything we have, if Jordan Crawford's going to be the odd man out, Frank Jackson certainly isn't going to be a contributor this year. But keep an eye on him. One thing Josh Lloyd mentioned to me, he's really high on Frank Jackson in dynasty fantasy basketball leagues, more so than a lot of other rookies in the league, because this is a guy who fell to the second round but had first round talent, and if it wasn't for that foot injury where he couldn't participate in the combine and other things, would have been a late first round pick. Probably between 20 to 30, you know, not in the lottery or the top half, but he was going to go in the first round if he had been healthy because there's just too much talent there. He can shoot, he can drive, he can score, he can kind of, it's just all around a good guard to play out there. But the biggest thing is that off-ball movement. This guy cuts and darts around and can catch and shoot off a cut as well. Exactly the type of skill set the Pelicans need, and I bet the Pels are looking at this guy as a starter in 2 or 3 years. Not right away. It's going to take a little bit longer for him to be a contributor, but I wouldn't be shocked if in a year or two, you know, not this season, maybe towards the end of next season, but likely the year after that, that he's a serious, significant contributor for the Pelicans. So you're going to want to keep an eye on him in his stints in the D-League when he comes back from being injured, because that's where he's going to be. And if he does ever get called up to the Pelicans, he's certainly going to be out there. You know, he'd be an interesting guy to keep an eye on because he does everything that this team needs off the ball. Tony Allen can cut and cuts a bunch, but isn't efficient at it. Frank Jackson is. He's a good shooter. He can still help space the court. He has just all of those tools and talents and raw abilities that you want out of a guy, and it's just a shame his career is starting off injury riddled like this. But I think this is a guy you're going to be very excited about in the future, and I know the Pelicans are as well. So keep an eye on him. If you play fantasy basketball, if you're in a dynasty league where you keep these guys kind of their whole careers and everything, Frank Jackson is certainly a guy to keep in mind, even if he's not going to help you right away. And the last guard on the roster we need to talk about is going to be Charles Cook. And so the Pels let Quinn Cook go. Largely, it sounds like Cook also wanted to leave and find a place where he might be able to contribute more, because with Holiday, Rondo, Moore Allen, Ian Clark, there's really few guard minutes to go around, especially if Crawford makes the team, which, I like I said, is iffy. So they let Quinn Cook go, but wanted to keep another Cook on the roster. You can never have too many. And I think it's just the Pels always have to have a Cook, or a New Orleans team has to have a Cook or Cooks on here. So they signed Charles Cook to a two-way deal. And this is a guy who does a number of things particularly well. He shot the three ball well, could potentially be a court spacer, and gets to the line a bunch. When you have two bigs in Davis and Cousins who are going to get your team into the bonus earlier, having a guy who can take advantage of that, and not really anyone else on this roster does, that no one else gets to the line significantly, having a guy who could get to the line is an intriguing thing. This also goes for Jalen Jones, their other two-way contract guy as well, but we're going to talk about him in the next couple of days. So it's going to be interesting to see if Charles Cook makes the roster. If Jordan Crawford isn't brought up, then no, he is, if Jordan Crawford makes the roster, then you're not going to see Charles Cook at all. If he doesn't, you'll see Charles Cook get brought up in, you know, kind of injury stints when someone else goes down injured and the Pels need a player for a game. On a two-way deal, he can only play 45 days in the NBA, but he shoots the ball well and gets to the line well, and that's a perfect injury replacement. He might not know anything else when it comes to the Pelicans offense or what to do, but he can shoot an open three, and certainly he can drive and draw contact and get to the line and score and take advantage of it that way. That's what this Pelicans team has been missing. They'd like to see it. It's worth a shot on this guy who played, you know, number of years, 4 years in college. Not heralded guy, but it's worth a chance. That's what these two-way deals are. And the skills that he brings to the table are skills that will help the Pelicans right away, where he might be able to make an impact or contribute, even if it's on that limited time that he's in the NBA for. So let's quickly talk rotation and kind of the order, and maybe some minutes here before we wrap up the podcast. So obviously Rondo and Holiday are going to be the starters. Holiday's going to get close to 36 minutes a game. I think Rondo's somewhere, we still don't really know, maybe around 30, maybe less than that. And then what? So I think it's going to potentially depend on the opponent and the Pels and their situation here, the kind of weird number of combo guards they have, can play things a number of different ways. You can put in each one more to space the court and give you a little bit more offense. Maybe you need some more intensity on defense and you sub in Tony Allen first. Or maybe you just need the explosiveness, if Davis or Cousins are in foul trouble early, of an Ian Clark out there and more of a well-rounded player. It's going to depend, I think, and that's what's kind of nice and exciting about this team. They can really adapt well to opponents and maybe force opponents to adapt to them, which is something the Pelicans have not done a very good job of over the past number of years. When it comes to the finishing five, you know, Holiday's in there, Davis, Cousins are in there, whoever's playing the three is going to be in there. But that other magic spot, again, do you need scoring? Put in Ian Clark or each one more. Do you need defense? Each one more, Tony Allen, depending on the position of need. They have a lot of different ways they can go. I think Moore's probably going to be the first sub in. Then I think it will be Allen and then Ian Clark. But it, again, is going to depend on the situation and the situation that the Pelicans are in. Are they down points? Well, then you're probably not going to put in Tony Allen. If you're up and want to cause some havoc defensively, Tony Allen it is. So they're in a position where they can do a number of different things, and it's kind of exciting because of that. But it's also hard to predict and try and tell you guys what's going to happen, because we're so far away from training camp and the preseason and the start of the regular season that we don't know quite yet. But over the next couple of weeks should become very apparent. So that's going to do it for this edition of Locked On Pelicans. Thank you all very much for listening to the guard preview. We'll have wings for you tomorrow, bigs the day after that, and then Friday will be kind of the fun day where we can talk about whatever we need to, depending on what's going on and what I think we haven't covered and what people want to know. Don't forget, subscribe to the podcast now that we're back to 5 days a week. It does help. This podcast is free for you all, 5 days a week. Nothing else coming with you that kind of much content. Liking it on Facebook really helps. Subscribing to it, rating it 5 stars on iTunes also really helps, keeping it free and keeping us going like this. So please do so. Don't forget to follow it on social media as well, at Locked On Pels. Also mentioning the Facebook thing, I've been posting some short articles on there that kind of have deeper dives, some more statistics and things thrown into that. Make sure you follow it on Facebook, otherwise you're missing out on some great content and some Pelicans info you need to know. So thank you all for listening today. More coming the rest of this week. Again, I'm your host, Jake Madison, at NolaJake on Twitter, and I'll be back with you all tomorrow.